Hello. I am excited for this because I think when I started being a practitioner and even like understanding detoxification pathways, I hope that this podcast will help in 15 minutes explain how detoxification happens in the liver. Because it is, a lot of people talk about like the MTHFR gene and talk about, you know, glutathione and bile and all of these things. And I think it's going to be helpful to understand truly what it works like, and where it can go and what symptoms pop up with that. So we want to, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that there are multiple layers to detoxification. It's not doing just like a 21-day cleanse or drinking some green juice. Like, it's a multi-step biochemical system that your liver runs 24/7. And when one pathway is overloaded or undersupported, you will show up with symptoms. And I think of it kind of like an assembly line. I think of I Love Lucy with the assembly line where they're eating, they're trying to eat the chocolate. Because if one station backs up, like the whole assembly line. So phase one, think of as the activation phase. There's basically three phases of detoxification. Phase one is the activation. Phase two is the processing. Phase three is the clearance. Phase three is like the you pooping things out. Essentially, elimination is phase three. But phase one is the activation phase. So what we mean by that is your toxins, think of them as like getting turned on so that phase two can then package them. So this is where your liver takes fat-soluble toxins. So think chemicals, hormones, medications, neurotransmitters, mold toxins, alcohol, pesticides, like everything, and starts breaking them apart so that they can eventually be removed. But there's a problem that can happen because phase one can make toxins more reactive before they can become safer. So if phase two is backed up, aka you're constipated, aka you're not eating enough protein, or you don't have the nutrient levels that you need to support all of these, which we'll talk about, what can start to happen is that you become backed up because you are essentially making these toxins more reactive. Reactive oxygen species is what we call them. But you aren't then clearing them. So now they're just floating back around into the body and you feel worse instead of better. Like people say, I tried detox and I felt awful. Or I tried putting in NAC, or I tried putting in B vitamins, or I tried eating more fiber or doing all these things to support detoxification. Or I did a cleanse. I did, you know, a 21-day thing detox and I felt horrible. I got rashes. I got itchy eyes. I was more constipated, like all of these things. You didn't overload your body with toxins. You activated toxins faster than you could clear them. So biochemically, phase one is run by something called cytochrome P450. It's an enzyme system, and they break apart toxins, they oxidize chemicals, they begin hormone metabolism, they prepare substances. But this process creates free radicals. They create oxidative stress. It creates temporary inflammation. So phase one has to be supported with antioxidants. Think of it like you break open garbage bags inside of your house before you open the door to take them outside. So then the fumes can get out if you don't quickly put them back together into the garbage bags. So I would say that symptoms of phase one overload are headaches, nausea, dizziness, brain fog, fatigue, anxiety can happen in detox very commonly. Chemical sensitivity, the detox flu, like you almost feel like you're coming down with a flu. These are not signs that you're necessarily toxic. They're signs that like your clearance system is not keeping pace. And so it requires antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, glutathione, polyphenols, think like berries, green tea, adequate protein, because these enzymes are protein-based. Low protein equals slow detox. You could also be eating protein but not absorbing it. And so that's another problem. B vitamins, specifically B2, B3, B6, B12, and folate, they act as basically cofactors for the enzymes. And then minerals, magnesium, zinc, iron, copper, and liver blood flow and bile production. Because if bile is sluggish, phase one will back up fast. So
yeah. So you mentioned phase one, phase two, phase three. We want to be clear here. We always start at phase three. Because if you think of us as a, you know, a funnel, essentially, you have to open the bottom of the funnel before you start just pouring more stuff out, you know, or into the funnel. So you you have phase one and then you have phase two, which we'll talk about here in a second. But the most important thing is phase three. When we're talking with our clients, especially those who are chronically constipated, before we're coming in with pushing detox, we're making sure that we're giving you the right things to help get your bowels moving, lymphatic drainage supports, more gentle things to help that phase three start to unclog. So then we can come back and go into phase two and then into phase one. So once phase one activates a compound, your body routes it into whichever phase two pathway is most appropriate. And so that's what we're going to break down for you, because there are several of those pathways. And this is all dependent upon the type of toxin, the structure of the molecule, the enzymes that are available in the body to be used, nutrients that are present. So this is where nutrient deficiencies are, you know, and mineral deficiencies and vitamin deficiencies are really important. And then what pathways are already overloaded. So one thing that God did design us with is that if you have a pathway that's overloaded and clogged, you've got other backup pathways. But at the end of the day, if you're not getting phase three opened up, all your pathways are going to start to back up. So all of the next phases really happen in parallel, not really a sequence. So phase two is multiple exit doors in a building. Each toxin has a very specific door it must leave through. And if that door is blocked, obviously it can't get out. It backs up your system. So what are some of these donors? First is glucuronidation. And so this wraps toxins and estrogen waste in a water-soluble package so that you can pee, poo, or sweat it out. Common symptoms when this is sluggish is we are going to see estrogen dominance, and that's going to show up even with, you know, periods, PMS, cramping, acne, hormonal, migraines, different things like that. It could be constipation as well, because estrogen can start to make your bile very sluggish and more peanut butter-like. So that's not flowing fluidly to get things out and keep motility moving. It could be chemical sensitivity. So you are more sensitive to different smells. Think about if you go to the gas station or you're, you know, on an airplane, you're more reactive to that. And then we can also see this in terms of fatty liver patterns as well, which goes hand in hand and with sluggish bile flow and inflammation in the liver. So this is really important from a nutrient standpoint to think about calcium deglucarate. Calcium deglucarate is one of our favorite things, especially because it helps block the enzymatic activity and recirculation of estrogen. With an enzyme known as beta-glucuronidase, it will block that and inhibit it from reactivating estrogen. Magnesium, very important miracle mineral involved in so many different enzymatic functions of the body, but very important for glucuronidation. Fiber to bind to toxins and help excrete them. B vitamins, various types of B vitamins that are going to be important there. Healthy bile flow. So this is where we think about direct ox bile, beets, bitters, tadka, those types of things. And then again, gut health. So as I mentioned before, beta-glucuronidase is that enzyme in the gut that gets reactivated. And so we want to use calcium deglucarate to block that. If the gut is inflamed, this pathway literally undoes all of your detox work. So things just get recirculated. And then we move into sulfation, which I know you have more experience personally, sulfation.
Yeah. Big issue for me. And I always think if there's histamine issues, there's usually sulfation issues. So it neutralizes histamine. It neutralizes phenols, salicylates, neurotransmitters, and some hormones. So I would say that sulfation is a huge issue when you have histamine intolerance, food sensitivities, migraines. This is a big pathway for migraines, and chemical reactions. So symptoms that happen when they're impaired: histamine reactions, think flushing, headaches, skin irritations, nasal drippage, you know, bloating, very common with histamine, constipation is very common with histamine, sensitivity to wine and chocolate and fragrances. Like, I don't have an issue as much with chocolate. Maybe I do. I just don't know. I just keep eating it. But I definitely cannot tolerate wine. I get almost immediately hungover feeling, mood swings, probably have those. I like to believe I don't, but I know I do. My husband probably begs to differ. Those are common symptoms. But the thing is when you have a sulfation issue, you would think I need to avoid sulfur. No, you need more sulfur. You need Epsom salt baths, magnesium sulfate. You essentially need more sulfur donors, because what's happening is you are not getting to the final sulfation. You are ending up in sulfite, which can be very toxic to the body. That's like, think egg-like smelling farts. Very common with sulfur-based issues. So like the rotten smell, right? Like something literally feels like it's rotting inside of you with the smell. You don't want to be near yourself. So you want things like eggs. MSM can be very helpful here if someone can tolerate it. Molybdenum, if MSM is not tolerable. B6, adequate protein. All of those are very helpful, because if sulfation is weak, histamine will pile up. and you need more sulfur donors to help the sulfation process continue properly.
This is really important for people with SIBO as well. So what I would say is that MSM or the molybdenum would be something that you can try very low dose. We've seen it be pretty impactful for some individuals and also for people who have the smelly body odor and breath. I've got a reel coming out about the different types and what they can indicate. So you might need to really focus on breaking that sulfur down, and the MSM can be very helpful for that. The third pathway is methylation. So we talk a lot about this. We have a whole episode breaking down methylation a lot more in depth, but we'll just go high level here. We know that this is a big process with, you know, MTHFR, controlling detoxification, neurotransmitters, hormones, energy, inflammation, also, your mood regulation and your stress resilience is heavily influenced by methylation and your ability to add methyl groups and, again, bind to things and get them out of the body is also as important for DNA repair. So this is one of the big master regulators. Symptoms when impaired, and some of these can associate if you're doing methylated B vitamins and your redox or your remethylation and your catabolism genes are impaired, you could be putting in B vitamins, but in the wrong form, and you're noticing an uptick in anxiety or depression, fatigue, poor stress tolerance. As I mentioned before, this makes us resilient or not to stress, meaning something just sets you off, or you're like, ah, I can handle this. Hormone imbalance, brain fog, especially when we see on homocysteine elevations, we're going to think more of like neurotransmitter imbalance, short-term memory loss, Alzheimer's, dementia, Parkinson's, those types of things. And so what do we need here? Of course, B12, but is in the right form for the person depending upon their genes and their tolerance. Folate, not folic acid or folinic acid could be helpful. The 5-MTHFF, B6, choline, magnesium, and methionine. So again, think of methylation as like the battery that powers many detox steps. It's involved in so many things.
Mm-hmm. It's like the backup for everything, kind of. So glutathione conjugation is number 4. So this is your body's main antioxidant detox pathway. So it neutralizes heavy metals, chemicals, oxidative stress. A lot of times chronic fatigue will happen if you're struggling with this, sensitivity to toxins, like you can't handle fragrances, you can't handle being around fumes. Poor recovery is a big one with this, brain fog and inflammation. So like you swell very easily. And in this case, you need donors for the antioxidants and for the glutathione pathway. So like N-acetylcysteine turns into glutathione. Glycine helps produce glutamine, vitamin C, selenium, protein. All these are very important for glutathione conjugation. And glutathione is obviously one of the most powerful antioxidants. So we look on labs a lot of times at GGT markers. If those are really low, we know that the person's probably not recycling glutathione really well. And we have one more pathway, but just note, like a lot of these are supported by very similar nutrients. A lot of them are supported by kind of the same things, and symptoms can be similar. I would say that sulfation is really big, like you mentioned with SIBO, and I would say histamine. Glucuronidation is probably one of the bigger ones when it comes to estrogen detox, and we'll kind of wrap this up at the end with it. But it's not like you have to take a million different nutrients. A lot of the same nutrients support multiple different pathways. So just something to pay attention to. And number 5 is acetylation. So this is the main one that processes medications and caffeine and some toxins. So we do a lot of times see on genetic testing that we do, like caffeine metabolism genes. Some people can have very sensitive levels to meds and caffeine, and they can have slow drug clearance. So it affects them a lot more. Fatigue and headaches can happen here. And usually you want to support with B5, magnesium, protein, very similar to a lot of the other ones. So wrapping this up, think phase 1 is activation. Phase 2 is packaging. And then bile and gut is the removal. So different substances prefer different pathways. Like I mentioned, estrogen is mostly glucuronidation and some methylation. Histamine is mostly sulfation and methylation. Heavy metals, glutathione conjugation, medications, acetylation, neurotransmitters, methylation, and sulfation. So like all of these have preferences. And so if you know, I struggle with my mood, okay, we probably might need to look at supporting methylation and sulfation a little more. I struggle with histamine tolerance and SIBO. We need to look at methylation and sulfation more. I struggle with estrogen dominance, glucuronidation, and methylation, right? So this is where, as practitioners, it's our job to look at a case, look at what symptoms someone is dealing with, and then be able to address properly versus like, oh, I'm just going to throw all the B vitamins. I'm going to throw all the NAC. I'm going to throw all of the detox supports at this person. Absolutely not. You can make a lot of things worse. And so the detox balance is very delicate. And I think symptoms can be very telling of which pathway in particular is struggling when you know what you're looking for. So the PMS and the estrogen dominance, again, that's the glucuronidation and the methylation, histamine, the sulfation. So I think when you understand how to know your body and know ultimately what it's telling you, it's a lot easier to treat it. But when it comes to liver detox, you cannot just blanket vitamins and nutrients and pushing detox, especially if someone is constipated, especially if someone is sensitive already to things, because it will make it worse and it will cause more symptoms that then you are having to backpedal and recover from. So wanted to explain that detox is much more complex than a green juice here and there.
Or a liver supplement or whatever you saw on social media and bought a cabinet full and then you feel way worse. Even sometimes people are very sensitive to doing like the big six. If you're super backed up, you've got to go really slow. The big six can trigger migraines, and that's just a very general, gentle lymphatic massage. So think about that too. And you know, if you are going to add anything in on your own, we would just say be very cautious. Maybe single ingredients is the best place to start. So with that, have a fantastic Friday and we'll be back on Monday.